Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 550 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined via Skype by Amy Stumpfel, freelance theater critic and arts reviewer, and she does a lot for The Tennessean. So we're going to get into discussing things about art critique and history and process of. So we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
All right, IDSers, I am joined by Amy Stumpfel, freelance. You just told me and I lost it. Freelance writer and critic of For the Tennessean. I'm sorry I butchered that title. You just told me. So I apologize.
That's okay. No problem. Yes, I review theater and cover the art scene for the Tennessean.
Cool. Well, welcome. Thanks for talking with me today. So give us a little of the National Geographic version of Amy and how Amy got into theater and reviews and that sort of thing.
Oh, happy to. Well, I tell you, I actually was a communications major in college. So my background really started out in custom publishing and marketing. But I've always been a writer of some sort. And I did a lot of magazine work, writing on everything from business and technology to economic development. But I always loved the arts, and that was certainly my favorite subject to cover. And so in 2004, a friend of mine was working at the Nashville City Paper and knew how much I loved theater, and they were looking for someone to make, you know, some contributions there. So I started reviewing. And at that time, not as nearly as many companies and productions going on. So it's grown a lot. I started with the Tennessean then in June of 2011.
Cool. And so are you a member of the American Theater Critics Association?
I am a proud member. And really, it's such a cool organization, such an interesting group of people. I've really met some great folks through that.
It's very funny. They you guys are like the Masons because as far as getting recruits, I guess, because I go through the podcast, I get invited. I go up to the press weekend for the Actors Theater, Humana Festival up in Louisville.
Sure.
And almost invariably every year, somebody saddles over to me at some social event and like, very low key, like, are you a member? I'm like, no. Well, you should be a member. I'm like, well, I really don't do, it's not a critique thing that I do. I just kind of more of a documentarian than a critique person. And it's all audio, and I don't know where I'd fit in there anyway. But it was very funny.
Well, it's interesting because, publishing and the journalism world has changed so much, they've really loosened up on who they're inviting to that conversation, which I think is great. I mean, there just aren't that many on-staff critics anymore.
That's
so it's kind of a cool idea to get more people involved in those conversations. So, yeah, we've had fun, John.
Well, it's very cool. I mean, I went to one of their little press reception things, and just to sit around and hear all the old-timers from back in the day talk about you know, first productions of this and that in New York and who did this and who was drunk most and, you know, that kind of stuff. As far as just theater history, just sitting in the room there was pretty, pretty amazing stuff. So you kind of get looped into theater and in 2004. And I would, it is fair to say that as Nashville has grown, so has the theater scene. So what's been sort of the biggest changes since your start in 2004 till today, do you think?
Oh, wow. Well, definitely just sheer numbers. When I started with the city paper, I basically had to contribute one story per week. And there were certain times of year during the summer, especially where there wasn't a lot going on. I was pretty much limited to, you know, drama camps, or maybe I would do a little profile on a local artist because there just weren't that many shows happening during the summer. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge change. We have so many more artists and theater makers and companies. So that's exciting. That's a great problem to have. I can't possibly get to everything now, mm-hmm. which is a shame, and yet it's a great problem to have because there's so much growth. I think the other big change is we're seeing so much more new work happening, mm-hmm. and that's really exciting. There was a time, and I know there are some folks that still feel this way a little bit, that all the companies were kind of just taking turns doing a lot of the same shows, whether it were, we're talking the classics, or, you know, we'd find that one or two. I did say a while ago that I just thought I could never see another production of Steel Magnolias again, but
you're not the only one.
That's right. So, but that's something, you know, the audience still has a taste for, so they continue to do it. But it's been really exciting to see people, you know, going off in different directions, making new work, and it's really quality, really high quality stuff.
So, how do you see the foreseeable future in Nashville? What areas do you think will improve, and what areas do you think need to improve, as far as kind of a theater community in whole?
Oh, that's great. That's a great question. I really love what's happening right now. I happen to be working on a story right now talking about the upcoming Sideshow Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. which Actors Bridge has been doing for a few years now, and it just continues to grow each year, and it's amazing to me. Every year I'm meeting new people, artists that I haven't met yet, and it's a really exciting time, I think, for some of these young artists that are very much interested in kind of blazing their own trail. I think Nashville is definitely got that, you know, going for it. Another thing, I guess, that I want to see us do better is having more collaboration. We're definitely seeing some of that. It's really exciting to me to see, you know, the ballet collaborating with one of the theater companies or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. We've definitely seen a lot of great collaboration between professional companies and the university programs, which right. is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'd love to see even more of that. And I think we certainly, we've got the talent to make that happen.
Right. Well, two of my gigs in the upcoming season are going to be professional theater companies associated with the university. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Definitely.
Where do you think the role of the critic fits into this whole mass of this cacophony of what theater is? How do you see the critic's role?
Wow, it's changing for sure. You know, I think there used to be a real separation, and you know, the newspaper might have different writers doing feature stories and previews, and then you had your dedicated critic, and you know, they kind of let them out of the dungeon once in a while, and nobody, you know, approached them and all that. And it's just really different. Most of the people I know are no longer on staff. They're almost all freelance. Mm-hmm. And so we're having to kind of rethink our role. I think when I started in 2004, it was very much, I saw myself very much as an arts advocate. There were still a lot of people who didn't know what was available in town. Mm-hmm. As the scene has grown and developed, I've been able to get a lot more in depth and look at things in terms of emerging trends. So what I like to see now, you know, the difference between a reviewer and a critic, really, a reviewer is just reporting what they saw. Mm-hmm. A critic should be able to offer some real insight. So rather than just say yes or no, you should or shouldn't go see this, why? The why is the important question. And that's a real challenge for me as space diminishes, you know, in print, and we're kind of rethinking the way we package that.
Right.
But I definitely, for me, I think the exciting part is there are so many people willing to be part of those conversations. It's a great time for me to be covering this because there's just so much happening and so much passion for it here locally.
So would you say that the new media has really kind of, I hate that term, but anyways, had mm-hmm. as far as podcasting and tweeting and everything, vlogging and all this stuff, has that really redefined then kind of at least the avenues of your review, but has it shaped how you review, do you think?
Yes, I do think so. In fact, there's, you know, there's kind of the ongoing battle of how do you serve both your print consumers, which we still have some. If you think about it, there's, you know, the folks that can afford season tickets. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of them are still getting the paper, and thank goodness that they are. But it's great to look at how people are receiving their news. And, my goal is to kind of keep that fresh. It's one of those things that it's a constant challenge for me. I've never had to be particularly techie, you know, tech savvy. Mm-hmm. I'm having to rethink that. I'm having to think about what's the best way to package this information, because I don't want it to become just clickbait. You know, I don't want to reduce it down to that. I want there to be substance and subtlety, to these conversations. It's not just I hate it when I see, an art section that's got like a thumbs up or a thumbs down or a right. letter grade or a
right.
star system,
yeah.
Because these things they're so complex. The beauty of art is in that complexity of how that idea developed and emerged and how this production took shape. And to me, you can't really do that justice by reducing it to bullet points and a star system, you know?
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it, I guess, because of going through Humana and everything, and I'm more attuned to how each critic kind of has their own style in which they deliver their critique, if you know what I mean. Like, my favorite probably review of a show that I've ever seen was Charles Isherwood did it for the Times before he got in trouble. He was there at the festival, and instead of doing like a piece on each play, he had one big piece about the festival itself. Right. And so
okay.
he's going through all the different plays and giving everything, you know, two or three pages and two paragraphs rather, excuse me. But, you know, and it comes down to this play called All Hail Hurricane Gordo, which I'm going to be honest, probably was the weakest play that year, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But it had a rabbit, a live rabbit in it, okay? And so his review was this: All Hail Hurricane Gordo. All I can say is, nice rabbit. Now, to me, who saw the play and an audience member, that's funny. If I was in the play, maybe not so much.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, that, well, it was very concise. So we'll give him props for that, right?
That's right. Succinct, very succinct.
Yeah, it's a tough thing because a very bright writer once told me, you know, you've got to be willing to kill your darlings. Mm-hmm. And that's something I always kind of agonize over. There are times when you kind of got a little bit of a snarky, you know, this sums it up really well. Mm-hmm. And you got to be willing to kind of cast those out because for someone, like you said, who was not in the audience, it just kind of comes off as snarky. So it's tempting sometimes, believe me.
Well, I think, you know, speaking from the artist side of things, I think we, you know, we oftentimes maybe give more sway to a review than is warranted. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, as long as there's a why attached to the any sort of critique or negative comment, I think that salves the wound a little bit. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it seems like some reviewers just come across and the negative is just negative and there's no
right
point to it other than to show how snarky and witty they are. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's one of those things that I started out, I mean, I was in shows when mm-hmm. I was in school. You know, I've never done anything in a professional capacity, but I've been on stage. I absolutely love theater. I love the power of live theater and what you can do. And so I'm a fan. I mean, I want, when I sit down to see a show, I want everyone to be doing their best work and I want it to go well. It's frankly really not easy for me to, when I have to sit down and go, okay, that was not the level of performance that I was expecting. You know, I know mm-hmm. what these folks are capable of and I kind of have some issues, whether it's with the script or what have you. Those are hard to write because I'm totally, you know, a cheerleader too. I really want to see it go well. I know what you guys are all capable of, but then at the same time, I feel like I have to be honest with my readers.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really funny to me is I've had some readers over the years that they've kind of grown accustomed to my particular voice or writing style, and they're like, you know, I knew what you were saying there, and you didn't really come right out and say it, but I totally knew what you were saying there. So I was like, okay,
well,
okay,
that's good.
That's cool too, you know.
That's success, right? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's right. But it's the short answer is that it really deserves, with all the blood, sweat, and tears that go into a production, I hope people realize that a lot of blood, sweat, and tears go into the review as well, because I do take it seriously, and I want to make sure that it's constructive and helpful and, you know, try to avoid any kind of personal comments or snark involved there.
That's good. Have you, you don't have to name names or anything, but have you ever had a confrontation about a review, like somewhere else in the grocery store or something, and somebody come up and said, oh, dare you write that about so-and-so?
You know, it's funny. Not many, and it's never coming from the artist himself.
Right.
It's someone else, you know, One of the nastiest comments I ever got from someone came from a mother that I had not named her child. I had not highlighted her child in this production. And it was, I don't really review children's productions, but right. there were a lot of children just kind of in the ensemble.
Right.
So there are probably 50 people on stage, and somehow I had not named this one individual. And she, I'll never forget it. She said she was the brightest light on that stage, and you just snubbed her. I printed that out and stuck it over my desk for a long time. I just thought, well, God, I don't ever want to snub the brightest light again. So
no, please don't do that. That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's stage parents are wonderful at times and horrible at times.
It kind of brings out the best or the worst, I
Yes,
find.
It does. It does. So if we wanted to find out more about you, where would we go? What would we look at?
Oh, great. Well, you can always find me on Tennessean.com. They carry the reviews in the lifestyle section. And you can follow me on Twitter at Amy Stumpfel, which I know is kind of a tricky thing to figure out, but it really is, just my name, Amy, Stumpfel.
Awesome.
And I'm always happy to have folks following.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for your time, Amy.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. I'm happy to do it.
When guests can't appear in the studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that is it. I'd like to thank Amy Stumpfel for stopping by today via Skype to chat about critiques and theater and theater history of Nashville and that sort of thing. So look for Amy on the Twitters, as they say, at Amy Stumpfel. So you can follow her along and get a little insight about her and about how the world she sees and the way she sees it. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @ICInexplicable, DS. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, it's the summertime, so who knows what we'll do next week. But I'm sure it'll be fun. So we'll see what we'll see next week. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. we are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.